"What awakened me?" I asked in my dream. "You awakened yourself," answered a voice nearby. I turned about, but no one was near. "Who are you?" I asked. "I am that something," came the reply. "But where are you?" "I am hidden in your soul." For some moments, I thought of what was said. Then I stammered. "How did you get there?" "I was born there." "Why have I not known you were there before?" "No man knows it," answered the voice, "until he awakes." "Are you in other man's souls as well?" "There is that something in every man's soul which can move the mountains or dry the seas." "Then you must be faith." "Yes," came the answer. "I am faith, but I am more. I am that which makes men face the fires of hell and win." "Then you must be confidence." "Yes, I am more than confidence. I am that which makes the babbling brooks lift worlds upon their wavelets." "You are power," I cried. "Yes, I am more than power," answered the voice. "I am that which makes the wretched failure lift himself up and rule the world." "You are ambition. I know you now." "Yes, I am more than you say. Faith, confidence, power, ambition, and more. For greater than all of this is that something. I am that which every man must find in his soul, or else he will be but a clutter of the earth on which he lives." "But how can man find you?" "Even as you're finding me now. First, you must awaken, then seek them. When you have found, you must learn to control." "Control what?" I asked, confused. "That something. Borrow it from your soul and baptize your life with it. Anoint your heart, your eyes, that you may see. Anoint your ears, that you may hear. Anoint your heart, that you may be." "But tell me," I cried frantically, for the voice was trailing off to almost nothing. "How can I do this? How? "This is the secret," came to the voice. The voice came to me as a whisper of a gentle breeze. "These words, I will. These words, I will." And the question I ask of you guys, as I return back to this here, the question is, what will you do? What will you do? That's my question to you. So yesterday, April 8th, 2024, was eclipse day here in the United States. And we were not in the path of totality, but we had about 88, 90% of totality. It was pretty cool. But the really cool thing is we had a party. I did one back in 2017 when we had our eclipse, and I did another one here yesterday. And the cool thing was the kids. It was so heartwarming to watch the kids running around. And kids who didn't know each other from other families were all together, and they were all running and racing and stuff, and then taking their, you know, glasses and looking up at the sky because we gave out free eclipse glasses. So everybody's looking at, and it was just a fun event. But what was so heartwarming is the pictures that I got, right? So the pictures, we have arts and crafts. So the pictures, and there was like, this is the sun with the eclipse glasses, wearing the eclipse. I'm like, brilliant. What a brilliant concept. And here's another, he made this for me. He said, "I'm giving this to you." He said, "because I really appreciate, you know, that you did this for us. And it was so great to see you." And this is, what will you do? What will you do? What is your that something? For me, that something is pediatrics. For me, that something is taking care of the kids. For me, that something is taking care of the pregnant mamas. For me, that something is working on kids on the spectrum. We had a kiddo on the spectrum there yesterday. And she, you know, there's some weird energy around this eclipse thing. You know, I don't know if you noticed it, if those of you who weren't in totality, which is obviously it got dark, but in areas where it wasn't totality, the light changed, right? The even though it was still just as intense, but there was sort of a different color, you know, almost like before a storm, when you notice like there's a different color of things before the storm, there was a different color. And that's what I found was so interesting, is that the kids were playing, and then as it got closer to totality, they started paying more and more attention to this because the color started changing. And this one little young child on the spectrum, she was not getting adjusted inside. She wanted to be outside. She wanted to be outside to feel this, right? So I'm like, okay, non-traditional adjustment here. So she's kind of sitting, you know, on her, in the pine straw around our office, and I was adjusting her there in front of dozens of other people, in front of the parking lot and the traffic and the burger place next door. The whole idea is, what will you do? What will you do when you have this unique opportunity? What will you do with the unique opportunity? Whether you're a chiropractor, whether you're a spouse, whether you're a patient, whether you're whatever you do, what will your unique opportunity be? What is that? What is your that something? For me, that something that drives me is, how can I take care of the kids? How can I make them feel totally okay? Like, sure, it would have been great to adjust a child on the adjusting bench, but you don't have to do that. You know, I was just talking to an intern, and they were on a mission trip recently, and they said some of the stuff that we've taught about in class was very applicable, because when they were dealing with kids on the spectrum, instead of saying, okay, come on, you got to lie down and you got to do it this way and this is it, they tried to connect with them. And to me, the way you connect is that, like, you and I, we might be able to connect with our voices, right? That might be a way we can do things. But when you're dealing with a kiddo on the spectrum, especially someone who's more minimally speaking, when you're dealing with a minimally speaking kid, you don't deal with them necessarily with your voice. You deal with them with who you are. And what this person said to me was that when they were adjusting kids on the spectrum on this mission trip, you know, while supervised, they totally lost themselves and they became one with this child. And that's what I always talk about when we talk about taking care of kids with autism. It's like, you know, you may speak Spanish, you may speak French, you may speak German, whatever, you may speak English. But kids on the spectrum, especially mentally speaking kids, you got to learn their language. And I'm fond of saying, I speak autism. I know how to deal with kids like this. I had a first adjustment yesterday with a kiddo on the spectrum, and she was totally fine with it. But she was not lying face down on a bench, right? Non-traditional adjusting. She was standing up. I don't know if you can't see it here, but I have like these bay windows around my office, and she was standing in the bay window playing with the slats on the blinds, the slats that go like this. And she was standing there, and that's what her first adjustment was. And, you know, the mom is like, you know, I've been to chiropractors before. That's not what I saw. And so obviously, you know, you said you'd do things different. You really are doing things different, right? That's something that BJ talked about. That's the, like, what will you do with your that something, right? You've got to come up with that. Like, for me, it's having parties for the kids. So we have Halloween parties, and we have, you know, holiday parties, and Valentine's Day. You know, we're always having parties here because the kids love it, right? So to me, like, it's all about the kids. And like Dr. Sid, you see a picture of him up over there. Dr. Sid, that's him doing a high pie at an old DE meeting. And that's Dr. Reggie Gold over there behind me. But Dr. Sid used to always say, bring me your most difficult cases. And that's what, like, my driving force now, after being in practice for this long, that's what I really want. I want the most difficult cases. And so people tell me, well, how do you get kids to come into your practice? Well, the way I get kids to come into my practice is because that's the first person to come into my practice. Like, it's not like the adult coming into the practice and I have to teach the adult why they should bring their kids in. It's the kids are coming in, and then I just say to the adults, like, and you can get adjusted too. You know, a lot of adults always, do you adjust the parents? You also adjust adults? Yeah, absolutely. It's the kid is first. And to me, like, having a kid first practice, that's what I recommend. And that's not easy, and it's not for everybody. But I love the concept of a kid first practice. I love the concept of saying, like what Dr. Sid said, bring me your most difficult cases. Bring me the most challenging cases. Another thing that Dr. Sid said, which is something I resonate really with, is I accept all cases, regardless of condition or financial ability. So we work with kids, right? We had a mama come in a couple of months ago and brought in her little one who's on the spectrum. And she's like, I can't afford hardly anything. I said, we're gonna work something out for you. And we created a very special hardship fee system for this person, because to me, it is not about how much can you pay. It is about, will there be fair exchange? And if there's fair exchange, are we able to I want to give the care. I would give the care away if I could, which is another thing Dr. Shiv would say. I would give the care away if I could, but I know there needs to be an exchange, and I'm totally fine with that. But to me, the most important thing is I don't want any barriers. There's another thing Dr. Shiv would say. No barriers. I want no barriers to my ability to take care of kiddos. I don't want someone to say, I would really love to have gone to the doctor's room, but I can't afford it. I really love my kid on the spectrum to get care, but I can't afford it. That's to me unconscionable, unconscionable. So we will work with one or two cases a month where there is a what we would call a hardship, you know, case, and we have them sign documentation to prove this because they deserve care. We don't determine who gets care based upon their insurance. We determine who gets care based upon their need and their willingness, right? So if you're willing to commit to the fact that a kiddo on the spectrum, their care plan is going to be 6 months to a year long, if you're willing to commit to that, then we're willing to commit to you, right? We're not a place where you try things out, where you say, well, let's see how it goes. I'll give it an adjustment to it. No, that doesn't work. We are a place where we want it to work, and if it works, but the way it works is you got to work it, right? You got to work, you got to do the work, and the work takes months. And we do re-exams in between to see the progress and to change adjustment styles and to change exercises, etc. But that's how we know things are really progressing. So when BJ talks about that something, when he says that we want to like, what will you do? What will you do? He said, I awakened in my dream, right? So a lot of times we're going through life kind of like zombies, but we got to wake up. We got to wake up to our dream. We got to wake up to the reality of there's a lot of people out there who need our help. And what can we do? What can we do to help these kiddos? What can we do? And it doesn't have to be kiddos. If you're practice, you want to be sports, you want to be adult only, you want to be geriatrics. I have some friends who do that. Excellent. But find that niche. Find the what I told someone yesterday, another intern. Find the thing that calls you, right? Find that, where's that passion? What makes you say, wow, I love this population? And that's the population you want to serve, right? So if you're like, oh God, kids, they're smelly and they're poop and throw up. Well, then that's not a good population for you. But for me, like athletes, oh, they're smelly and they're complaining a lot, right? I take care of them. But that's not my name. But I thought that was, right? That was my beginning. My entry into chiropractic was I want to be a sports chiropractor, especially for hockey players. But it didn't jive. It didn't jive. So what I'm asking you to think about is what jives with you, what drives you, and find that something, and then create I will, right? Remember the if you build it, they will come, right? From Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will. Come, right? I will. What will you do? If you build it, they will come, right? That's what happens. Because if you build something that makes sense to you, that you can feel, if you build it, they will come. Because when you open yourself up to the possibilities of what you want to do, not what you think you should do, you're supposed to do, you ought to do, you need to pay your loans off for, but like you go, oh, I love doing this, then they will come. They will come. So what will you do? Thank you guys, and I'll see you next week.